Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. It's Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning. We are talking about our new topic that we've been covering the past quite a few weeks now. Tithing versus giving, what the scriptures really say. It is also open lines, so if you have another question on another topic that we don't cover during the rest of the week, feel free to call in and we'll see if we can address any questions or concerns you might have. Again, we're talking about tithing versus giving. That's really the distinction we're getting down to, is that if we say we're going to use the scriptures as a basis for what we do with our finances, it's critical we understand that the scriptures are very clear about the distinction between tithing and giving. They are two different things, and tithing only applies under the law, and we are so used to thinking, well, Abraham tithed, and Abraham was before the law, but Abraham didn't tithe, he gave. He happened to give a tenth, and that's where the word tithe is associated with Abraham, because the word tithe as a noun is used. But it's all that is a tenth. If he had given a fifth, or if he had given some other proportion, 100%, then the whole concept of tithing would not be associated with Abraham. The other important thing to remember is that giving a tenth to idols, to kings, as tribute to many other people was an extremely common form of expression. Giving a tenth was the normal routine of expressing either submission or honor or any number of ways of paying tribute, but that's giving a tenth. Then tithing is strictly law-oriented, associated with the laws of Moses, and then, as we've been going through, added to over and over and modified over and over throughout the history of the law. So there are two very distinct uses and expressions of tithing. So it's very important that we, as present-day grace-dependent Christians, spirit beings, that we understand the difference, so that we are not subjected to automatic decisions about how we handle our finances. Our finances are important to God because they're important to us. He doesn't need your money. The money's not at all important to him. But because it is important to us, that's why it's important to him. And the problem with tithing is that when you start with the erroneous assumption of tithing, that tithing is something we should be doing now, that keeps us from fully depending on God to tell us where we should be giving our money. In turn, two basic problems arise from that. First, we give money to ministries that shouldn't be receiving it. And very often, we'll get into this down the road, but very often, one of the ways that God shows a ministry that they are not relying on Him, that they are not ministering out of Him, but out of their own strength, is He allows the finances to dry up. But if we have a preconceived idea about a church, for instance, if you are automatically tithing or automatically giving anywhere, you are presuming upon God. If you are automatically supporting a ministry, if you are automatically doing anything with your finances, you are presuming on God's resources. And it does not, we can very often interfere with supporting a ministry that God wants to let go. And likewise, on the opposite effect, if we are automatically doing something with our finances, we are not depending on God to give to ministries, in this case, that He does want us to support. So the bottom line is, and this is in a strict, we're going to talk later about the other roles of finances in our lives, but for right now, because this is seems to be a big concern, how will then churches be supported? Well, many of them won't be. And if God wanted them to be supported, He would tell the people to support them. And this comes back to, well, so many people don't know how to hear from God. Well, then what are you going to that church for? Are you allowing, and that's maybe part of the problem, is that the authority in that church is saying, I will tell you what God wants you to know. And God will not allow that to happen. He wants to tell you Himself. So you cannot give unless you've checked with God. Otherwise, it's automatic. It's outside of Him, and you're expending resources in ways that are not necessarily supporting something He wants to do. So those are the two effects in the area of supporting ministries, is we end up supporting ministries that God does not want supported, and therefore standing in the way of God correcting or changing or getting the attention, God doing something He wants to do, we interfere in that. And likewise, we don't send money to those who God does want to support. And it all comes back to, because we're not going to God first about where we should be putting our finances. We do something automatically. We tithe. And that interferes with God's relationship with us and the way He uses His resources through us. So we're going to continue. And again, what we're doing is we're going through scripture by scripture to look at how clear it is, to see the distinction between tithe. The word T-I-T-H-E is only, just simply means a tenth, and it is only used as a verb to tithe strictly in conjunction with the law of Moses. So we've picked up in Malachi chapter 2, verse 1, and we've just reading through every single line. And I'm doing this because so many people listen to these podcasts driving to work or doing other things that they can't stop and read, pull out their scriptures and read along. And it is so important. Malachi is the other place that we're taught. And I was taught the same thing, that there's a promise involved. But what the problem is that we are taught that the verse relating to tithes, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, can be isolated from the rest of the chapter. And that is a mishandling of this scripture. All this book is, all Malachi is a list of the complaints God has against his people. And to try to isolate one item on the list is distorting what God is saying. So we're going to pick up on Malachi chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. And I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. Let's just stop here for a second. This is just another example of where God is saying that the purpose of the law was to get to the heart. And because the priests, even in Malachi, were doing what their interpretation of what God told them to do, but they were not responding from the heart. So verse 7, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts, but you have departed from the way. And just a stop there real quick, just as a reminder, this is a reflection of the only way people could know the Lord was God revealed himself through the law, through the priests. But this is not for us any longer. You now are the priests. You are the sons. You need no one. That veil in the temple was rent top to bottom. You are kings and sons and priests. If you have been renewed in your spirit, no one speaks to you for God. God speaks for himself directly to you. So that's a huge distinction. So keep that in mind as we continue. But you priests have departed from the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another? By profaning the covenant of the fathers. Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, in what way have we wearied him? And that you say, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And just as a quick comment there, an editorial comment, I love that part where it says he will sit as a refiner and a purifier. In other words, this is not going to be a brief thing where we have this idea that God just changes us in the blink of an eye, and that we are changed from one thing to another, but he sits and refines us and purifies us. He takes however long it takes until the job is done. Verse 4, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Again, let's just stop right there, okay? That section is verses 8 through 10. And unfortunately, what people do is they take out those three verses, 8, 9, and 10, and say that the reason we're not prospering is because we're not tithing. And they pull out of all the whole book, this whole list of things that God has against us, had against those the Israelites. They pull that one section out and say, this is the problem. If you just tithe, then God obligates himself and challenges and says, try me now, without looking at all the other admonitions on the list. And we'll go into this in greater detail afterwards. But this is the verse that people use in isolation. And we can't do that. God doesn't do that. We go to him instead. So verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Again, that is so often taught that if you just tithe, everything will be peachy keen. All the blessings from all the other promises that are not mentioned in tithing. It's like, of the list of things that God required of the Israelites, tithing just happened to be the last one. And now God is saying, okay, if you do the whole list, then I will bless you. Try me in all these things, not just tithing. The law was created such that if you don't do any one of them, you're under the curse. That's the whole purpose of it. It was not if you did 90% of them, you'd get 90% of the blessing. No. You have to do, it's an either or. You are either blessed or cursed. If you don't do the whole law, you come under the curse. Not just tithing, not just taking care of the widows, not just taking care of the orphan, dealing wisely in your business. If you don't do the whole law, you are under the curse. You do not receive a partial blessing for fulfilling the partial law. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Okay, this is the group that have taken the law to heart. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Those are your only options. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's the end of Malachi. Again, it's not about tithing. It's not about blessing, receiving a blessing for doing one part of the law. It's the whole law. You can't take one part out and make it more important than another part. Now, before we are next going to go through and just describe in simple terms, just do, again, because Malachi is what is used so often, almost like a hammer, to just pound into us, you and I, that we must tithe in order to please God, in order to receive from him. And we need to learn for ourselves that that is just not what the scriptures say. And again, what do we use as truth? We go to him. We go to God. Now, there may be a point in time where God says, no, I want you to support this work. Give them a tenth of your income. That's not tithing. That's giving. You just happen to be giving a tenth. But it's not because of the law. It's because you've heard from God. So we'll pick it up here next Saturday. If you want to move ahead, check out the website. There's a link there with the PDF. and you can be following along at your own pace. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.